Morning, how you guys doing? Yeah, kids, how are you guys doing today? Well, now you're quiet. That's funny. I have a kid's story. We're talking about thankfulness today, so I have a kid's thankfulness story to start off with. My daughter is famous at the doctor's office, and she's famous because of one incident. And this one incident, I think, is potent because we live in a world where thankfulness isn't all that prevalent, I think. That's my theory. And so when people give thanks or show thankfulness or gratitude in a genuine way, it stands out. And so what happened, and I kid you not, just one time, is my daughter was getting a shot. Now, she was two at the time, and they gave her a shot, and she predictably tears up because shots hurt a little. And then she turns to the nurse with just genuineness in her eyes, and she said, "Thank you." And I kid you not, every single time I go into the doctor's office and I don't bring her with me, there's like, "Did you bring Mary?" "No, it's like a work, it's just me." And they're always so disappointed. And you can just see, like, and they're like turning to the nurse like 10 feet back, and the nurse 10 feet back, "He didn't bring her." So thankfulness can go a long way, especially if you give thanks in the midst of pain, apparently, so. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we get a chance to talk about your word this morning, particularly thankfulness. I think it's an important topic. And it's one that we know we can define the word, Lord, but to live it is a different story. And I pray that you would bless our time this morning, Lord, that we would hear from you. Lord, I long for that. I know it's my lips speaking, Lord, but I just pray that you would deliver us the words that you want us to hear. Pray that you'd be with us richly as we read your word. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So our core passage for this Pray For series that we've been doing for the month of August is Colossians 1, 9-14. And if you bear with me, we're going to read it together one last time. I might read parts of it later, but the whole thing one last time. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, we give them away pretty much every Sunday at the Info Center if we have them, and we have the words on the screen. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So today we're going to focus on that fourth part, thankfulness. And in this short prayer from Paul, giving joyful thanks to the Father is possible because of what he's given us, what we have in him, the inheritance of his people. There are really lots of things to be thankful for in life, and if we're creative, I think we can come up with a lot of things, but there's nothing higher on the list than this, than the gospel, than the truth of the inheritance that we have in Christ, the gift that we have in him. Nothing is more valuable. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. This is the key to why we can be people of thankfulness, even in a world that's full of injustice, that's full of pain. In this short prayer, Paul is beseeching God to give the Colossians a new way of life, a new way to live, that they would learn to live in a way that pleases God, a lifestyle that demonstrates afresh every day their commitment to the Lord. So it's not as if they check their ballot box and it says Christian, and that's good for the rest of their life. He's praying that every single moment, every single day, that they would be able to live this way. I shared a few weeks ago when we were talking about growing a knowledge of God that we need to pair knowledge with obedience. And I think it's the same principle with thankfulness. It's something we all need to know about, for sure, but it's something we really need to be about. There are a lot of directions we can go in this time. I thought about sharing some things from Paul and other portions of his writing just where Paul models and shows thankfulness, but as I started to scout that out, and I got to like 100 minutes, and I was like, that's not going to happen. I decided to go a different angle. So today we're just going to focus on what thankfulness is, what it isn't, and what's the Holy Spirit's role in that, and then what does it do for us when we're thankful? Colossians 3:16 is another couple chapters beyond this passage in his letter to the Colossians, Paul's letter. He says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Being thankful is something we know is right, right? Kids, can you raise your hand? Kids, you out there? You still with me? Yeah. Oh, I see some of you up there, like hundreds of you up there. Aren't we thankful for Amanda and New Life Kids right in this moment? Just for those of you who don't have kids, we're on a two-week break. We do this every year, but every year we're reminded afresh how much we appreciate all those teachers and volunteers down there. So kids, here's the question for you. Is it better to be angry or thankful? Thankful. Right. That's totally right. You nailed it. So we know this is true, right? And our kids know it's true. It's even a motif in our world outside of Christendom. We're supposed to be thankful. We know it. But there's times when that's not so easy, right? Granted, there's times when it is easy. Like when you're at a wedding and you turn to your person you're with and say, hey, can I have that dessert? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, thanks. When it's like 100 degrees out and you call the AC repair person, they come out immediately and the humidity is like 1,000%. And they fix it. Thank you. Those moments when you're in the car and like you just miss dying by like fractions of a second, either because you weren't paying attention or because they weren't paying attention. Thank you, God. Right? It's almost natural in those moments. Then there's so many moments in life when it's not natural. The little things, big things, your favorite food's not at the store, especially if it's Doritos and you need them. Favorite TV show gets canceled, and much bigger things, right? Much bigger things. You lose a job, a spouse, a friend, a loved one. You find out someone you know and love and respect is going off to war. You don't know when they're going to come back. You hear bad news from the doctor. You're not feeling well. There's a ton of things that happen in this life, and I bet you we would have hundreds of stories if we just went around this room of things that are going on right now that fit that category. Just in this last week, my wife and I had two friends that just experienced a tremendous loss. And I was just talking to one of them yesterday about this idea of thankfulness in the face of loss and just reflecting on how difficult it is, how difficult it's been for me to even think about the two together. And yet Paul, and not just Paul, but the whole Bible, calls us to an attitude, a position of thankfulness. Position of thankfulness, a way of life. So the image is, you know, God is everywhere, but if we just look at the cross, I guess. The image is we're supposed to be putting ourselves in a position where we wait on the Lord. Psalm 147:11, I think, says, the Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness. And so we have this position of just waiting before the Lord, and if we await him and his goodness and his kindness and his graciousness, that's really the kind of position he wants us to be in. But so many times in life, we're in a different spot. Like, we have our arms crossed. We're not facing him at all. And we're like, Lord, I need you to do something good for me. I demand you do something good for me. Catch my attention. Make me feel better. Make this all better. So we have this juxtaposition of living in a really difficult life, and still the Bible calls us to be thankful. The Greek word for giving thanks here is eucharistontos. I was an engineer formerly, so if I ever maul these pronunciations and you're a Greek scholar out there, it's not personal. The root word eucharistia, all things basically meaning giving thanks. And if you notice Eucharist right in the spelling there, right, you haven't missed something. The modern word Eucharist comes from this. So the act of Eucharist or communion really is giving thanks. Giving thanks, that's where the name comes from. It's to be done repeatedly. It's meant to reflect a position, a lifestyle, a continuance. And that's what Paul's praying for here, for the Colossians, that they would be a people that give thanks. And so we have a bit of a spectrum. We have Eucharistio on one side, really people who live in an attitude of waiting to hear good things from God, waiting to receive good things from God, and seeing and recognizing when they do, and something else, something different. So I was thinking this week about what is that something else. Well, one thing I came up with is complaining, right? It's kind of the obvious one. If you're complaining, you're not really giving thanks. Personal story on this, about 10 years ago maybe now it is, I participated in a vote as an elder here that we would have, we'd bring Moody Bible Institute in to do a program, a scholar program for our staff, especially those of us who were engineers in our former life, and we'd have a good Bible education to do the work we do here well. And so I voted for it. I think it's the right call, but I grumbled. about it because I felt like I knew everything that I was studying. I was like, I already know this. And I just, life is so short. And so I was like complaining for like a year. And then finally, I just was like, I am a horrible example to my co-pastors and staff about this. And so I just repented to all of them. I was like, guys, I'm sorry. I should not be complaining about this. This is a good thing. And so I've had to do that several times. I did finish like 3 or 4 years ago, so that eased it up a little bit. But it was hard. And there's moments that are like that for all of us. Tons of moments. Philippians 2:14 says this, do everything without complaining and arguing. Okay, everything. Moody, toothbrushing, whatever it is, all things. So complaining isn't a good example of giving thanks. What else is not a good example of giving thanks? I think entitlement. Entitlement. The fact of having a right to something. Sometimes we have that position before God and we feel entitled. Lord, amaze me. Give me amazing things. Do great things for me. The reality is we don't deserve any good gift from him. Psalm 8, 1-4 says this, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings, that you care for them? Who are we really to be entitled before God for anything? How can that be our position? Another thing that we can struggle with that's really not giving thanks, it's something pretty prevalent in our lives, is anxiety or fear. Philippians 4, 6-7 is one of my favorite verses. We all have favorite verses, right? Let's just be honest. This is one of those ones that's good to memorize too, I think. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we're anxious, when we're fearful, we're not giving thanks to God. We're typically relying on ourselves or something else. We're not in that position of awaiting God's blessing. We're trying to do it ourselves or some other thing. Anger is another thing that we can struggle with. It's definitely not giving thanks. It's a place we can go so often in life. And it's tricky, actually, right? Because anger by itself, I don't think, is just purely a bad thing. We cast it as a negative emotion. But when there's injustice in our world and we're angered by it, that's not a horrible thing. But if we are angry, it's hard for us to be giving thanks. So we have this tension. And we live in a world of injustice. And so we have to face this tension. And the challenge with anger is it's a natural human response, but it's a human effort. And we need a spiritual one. It doesn't mean that we thank God for things that are evil. And you got to keep this in mind. We have this call from the Lord that we're supposed to be thankful continually. But we're not thanking God for things that are wrong or evil. Instead, we maintain our faith in God and our thankfulness to him and his goodness in the face of those things. Even if sometimes the worst of situations, we can't see it, we don't feel it, we can know and believe that God is good. James 1:19-20 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So if you're looking at your life and you're doing a survey and you're seeing complaining or entitlement or anxiety or fear or anger, chances are pretty good that you're suffering from an empty reservoir of thankfulness. It's empty in there. Something else has filled its place. And God wants us to be vessels that are not empty but full. He wants to fill us. And that's what Paul prays for, right? Going back to verse 9, he says, for this reason, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you. To fill you with what? Essentially the Spirit that gives knowledge and wisdom. And why? So that we can live a life that's worthy of the Lord. So God longs to fill us with his Spirit that enables thanksgiving. He doesn't want us empty. He wants us full. And when we're filled with thanksgiving, right, we're pleasing to God. And that's really no great mystery, right? Because anytime we think about it, what's more pleasing? When people are belligerent with us or angry or complaining or entitled or anxious, or when they're thankful? When you look at your kid and they're thankful for something, or your friend or your spouse or your parent, it's just more pleasing. It's not all that hard to see it. And so it happens the same way with God. We can be more pleasing to him when we're thankful. Notice, we're not earning salvation. That's still by grace, through faith. But we can live in a way that's more pleasing to him. There's some things in the Bible, a ton of things that are associated with thankfulness, and one of those is joy. When we're able to give thanks genuinely, we're often much more likely to experience joy than in moments when we can't give God thanks. Colossians 1:11 said that, giving joyful thanks, that phrase right there. So the practical question for each of us is this: what's our heart filled with today, right now? You can usually get a good sense of this, I think, when you're actually attempting to worship God. Do you feel genuine joy, thankfulness? Is there a sense of resonance with what's going on, or is there a resistance? Is there an emptiness, a disconnect in some way, shape, or form? We know from Paul's letter to the Galatian church that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It means its presence or absence in our lives may indicate something of our connection with God. I don't necessarily mean to say happiness, really, rather joy. Joy seems to be something unique from happiness, because happiness is really related to circumstances. Joy is more of a spiritual matter. It's more of a gift. It's possible to have joy in the face of suffering, and Paul shows it time and time again. Particularly, he writes one letter to the Philippians while he's in jail expecting martyrdom. Joy is a spiritual matter. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence of the Spirit's working in us, and the Spirit enables thanksgiving in us. And I think if I have one core thing to express today, it's this. The Spirit enables thanksgiving in us. Jay talked last week about power. Power of God, dunamis, I think was the word he used. God's power given very personally through the Holy Spirit to us. So thankfulness is a matter of the Spirit, not of human effort. We need to cooperate with God to be sure, but the temptation is this, and if you're anything like me, the temptation is here for you, because you're going to walk out from this time and think to yourself, I can do that better. I can do that better. And so for 5 minutes or 7 minutes, or 12 and a half minutes, or maybe a couple hours, maybe even a whole day, you can thank people better. But God's looking for something genuine, something that flows up from who we are, what's in our soul, what's in our spirit. And that's really a gift that only comes from him. That's an increase that only comes from him. Ephesians 5:18 to 20 says this: do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think what happens is when we are people that live in that position before the Lord where we're thankful, we are making music and singing to him from our hearts. Joy. And we're expressing it to him. Be filled. God wants us to be full. But so often we're filled with the wrong things. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So funny, because I always think of these three verses as, that's only three verses, that should be like a whole page, but it's just a few words, a few really challenging words. I have a short story from you. It's for you. It's from the Gospel of Luke. This is a story when Jesus heals some men with leprosy. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. 1 out of 10 came back and thanked God. I don't know if that's the percentage in our world, but I wonder if that's part of the message being communicated by this parable. Thankfulness is rare in a genuine form. We all know it. We all know what it is, but it's rare, which means it's probably rare for us too. Thankfulness isn't something we can do genuinely apart from God. It's possible, I think, for everyone on the planet, because we're all created in God's image, but to increase in it, really to grow in it, to really be thankful as a way of life, that's something that God gives. So if we want to grow in thankfulness, this is, I think, why it's in a prayer. Because Paul needed to ask God for this gift, and he did. And for the Colossian church, these people that he longed to bless, he hadn't met them in person, but he longed to bless them. And so he prays these simple things for them, and he asks God, God, would you grow them in thankfulness? And that's why we wanted to appropriate this prayer for our own church, for our own selves, that we would pray these things for ourselves. And so really when I was preparing this message, I was really tempted to think about all the things we could be thankful for and how creative we can be when we're thankful for, like that, you know, this bottle that's not spilled and these, that they're so aligned because I really like alignment. And then there's like not much gap here and these are really solid and the ceiling hasn't fallen down and the vents are all working and the clock is pretty close to right. Right? We can be creative. We can be disciplined. And we can sort of grow in the discipline of thanksgiving. I thought about sharing all those kinds of things. But really, when it comes down to it, this is something we need to ask God for. We need to ask him for it. So we're going to do that as a church. We invite you to it. We're going to do two things, really, in particular, as a practice out of the service. One is after the service is concluded today, right here in the front, myself and some other staff will be here. And if there's something you could use prayer for, we'll pray for you. We would long to do it. We would be honored to do it. The other thing is our staff team is praying and fasting this whole week. Well, Monday through Thursday, technically. So what we do is we fast 9 to 5. Essentially, we just have dinners. And then we spend the whole day just praying together. We find a room somewhere here, and we pick topic after topic, and we pray. And sometimes we walk around campus, and we pray. And so I invite you to pray with us this week. If you actually have the freedom to actually come and be here with us, you're more than welcome to join us. It may look like a staff meeting, but anyone is welcome to come and join us in prayer. If you can't actually physically be with us, we'd invite you to fast with us. Except if you're nursing a child or have a baby in your womb, I invite you to keep nourishing yourself. Fast maybe in some other way. But we'd invite you to join us this week because we are going to ask God and beseech him to do amazing things in our world and our community. We're like a couple weeks away from an onslaught of new people coming to town. And those people are going to be bringing a whole wealth of challenges with them. And God can meet them all. And we have a tremendous opportunity. It's one of the things that we are most excited about, most positioned to do as a church, is to be humble before the Lord and say, God, will you use us in this community? And so that's what we're asking God to do. Let's pray. Father, we owe every good gift that we have to you. Everything that's good in our lives comes from you. And Lord, I want to pray particularly for people who are in the audience today who either personally or through a friend or a loved one are struggling with something so deep, so painful that thankfulness seems so far away, like an empty word, a foreign concept. Lord, would you bless those people, bless those souls. Lord, grant us the ability to see your goodness in the moments when we're blind to it. Help us to see you more, afresh, anew. Lord, your power is so amazing, we cannot comprehend it, and it's available to us. And we pray and ask you for it. In your holy name, amen.